Welcome to The Unicorn in You, episode 55 of Co-Creating Peace, a series about conscious communication and conflict transformation. I'm Kathleen Owigon. I want to start today's episode by thanking everyone who has reached out to me to ask how they can support this podcast. That means more to me than words can express. There are several ways that you can help Co-Creating Peace stay strong and live long with your financial support, your contributions to the content, and by sharing Co-Creating Peace with others. I'll provide details at the end of this podcast and in the written description. Today, I am joined by Joshua Kramer. Josh's upcoming book, The Unicorn in You, takes an unself-help approach to finding a path to peace and joy. By identifying fundamental principles and the standards that guide them, he uses classic stories and timeless quotes to outline practical and actionable steps to reconnect with these universal qualities. In The Unicorn in You, Josh reveals the everyday structures for stepping out of your head and becoming grounded in your foundation for being. Josh and I will talk about how these can help each of us to co-create peace. But first, the quote for today. Today's quote is by Josh. In order to be light, you first have to be solid. Josh is the creator of The Unicorn in You, a personal growth and development perspective that emphasizes five key principles as the foundation for peace and joy. He is the managing partner of Kramer Chandler, a founding partner of Real Connex, and an active member of the Young Presidents Organization. Josh, it is great to have you here with us.
Thank you so much, Kat. Great to be with you.
Your book shares so many interesting perspectives. What led you to writing your book?
You know, I think that the book, which really began at the start of the pandemic, which is almost 2 years ago now, which is amazing to think about, is really 25 years in the making for me. As someone who has struggled with my mental health, sadness, and depression, it's something that I think that I've always sought to find a mechanism or some kind of path to help me reduce the anxiety and worry in my life. When I encountered the opportunity to write a book and share a perspective, the pandemic was the perfect starting point because, like everyone, it caused me to take stock, take inventory, to try to understand what mattered most in my life. And that's when I started thinking about the values that would potentially lead me towards a path of peace and joy. And that's what kind of prompted the book.
To think about how insights came to you through the difficulties you faced, that's what I always hope for people. And the pandemic has brought such an increased level of anxiety for everyone, it seems. And many people that I see get so wrapped up in their anxiety that they don't see the blessings and the opportunities that are there. And how wonderful for you that you did. So how did the process of writing The Unicorn in You help you in your own wellness?
I think you're exactly right. As far as what the pandemic did for a lot of people, for me, it was a surreal time like everyone else felt. And in many ways, I felt there was a responsibility to look a little deeper and understand that people were suffering personally, professionally. I've known many people who have suffered, have not survived the virus. And the process was very cathartic in a way, of course. But what I loved about it was that I was able to really try to understand for me what values were important in my life. A few months before the pandemic, I was at an event with Ryan Holiday, who's an author that I followed and really enjoyed. And he posed a question, in your life, what matters to you most? What do you know for sure? And I kind of just said, I think kindness is everything. And fast forward, I used kindness as the basis for the book when I thought about the values. But I said, what else? What other values are important to me? And how can they all contribute to reducing some of that worry, especially at that time? And so that's where I was able to dig in and understand that for me, it was kindness, it was gratitude, it was integrity, humility, and acceptance. And the common thread with all of these was selflessness. And that's what I found was really important for me getting out of my own head and helping me feel a little bit lighter and getting on a stronger path to peace and joy without really trying.
Without really trying. What a wonderful thing. And I love that you are so focused on values and that values inspired your book in some ways. And I have several conversations about values in various podcasts, value-based decision making, and other topics around how our values are what connect us and our values are what give us direction in life. If we know to take that time to pause and look within and identify for ourselves what our values are. So I think that's so great. That was part of the genesis of your book.
You're absolutely right. And I think that, you know, when we think about values in a way, they're not for their own sake. There's meaning behind them. For kindness, for me, the driver of it is compassion. How do we find more compassion? And what does that mean really for kindness? For gratitude, I think it's important to have a level of awareness. Integrity, I believe, is driven by decency. And when we talk about humility, I also think about it has to do with perspective, our understanding of our significance or insignificance in the world. And lastly, acceptance was an interesting value to come to because it had to do with flexibility. When I thought about mental health and especially my mental health, I think it took me a long time to come to the understanding that flexibility in our minds, the ability to hold conflicting thoughts or feelings and emotions is in many ways a sign of strong mental health. It's a sign of maturity. But as I dug deeper, I found that it was a sign of accepting the way things were rather than regretting how they weren't. And that was important for me. And as I put those values together, I agree with you completely. They become forgotten in a ways of what's something that can ground us, giving us a foundation.
Exactly so. The Unicorn in You is such an enticing title. I want to know how you came up with that title and what is The Unicorn in You all about?
So the title, The Unicorn in You, comes from a very special story, and it actually came exactly 30 days after my encounter with Ryan Holiday. And I was down in South Florida at my nephew's soccer game, and little nine-year-old running around, you can imagine all the parents screaming. And I looked for his sister, my four-year-old niece, and she's off to the side in a little grassy area beside the field, just playing, and to me, almost basking unselfconsciously as only a four-year-old girl could. And when I caught her eye, she came running to me and I picked her up and I see she had these very colorful sneakers on. And I complimented them. I said, I like your rainbow shoes. And she sternly looked at me and corrected and said, they're not rainbows, they're unicorns. And something struck me about these shoes. And I joke now, I said, I was curious if they made them an adult size. But I think there was something symbolic about the way she kind of carried herself, that unselfconscious being. But more than anything else, I said, boy, that is just the essence of peace and joy. And to me, it's how do I capture that? And that prompted me to think about kindness, to think about unicorns, which I never really gave much thought to, understanding what their spirit was. And then a few months later, when the pandemic began, really understand how I could find more peace and joy in my life. So that was the inspiration for it.
That's a great story. And every time I see those wonderful shoes that kids have, I too say, why can't grownups have those shoes?
Exactly.
Yes. And why can't we all recognize the unicorn in us and in each other? So talk a little bit more about what the book is about.
So the book came from this feeling that I had inside me of trying to understand what could ground me, what could give me a foundation for being rather than doing. I had read, like many people, so many self-help books, mechanisms searching for processes. And what I found was that they were very unnatural. They had me trying to do things that were not very instinctive. And so my breakthrough in writing this book had to do with this idea that to be light, we first have to be solid. And that feeling of lightness that I wanted would come from a strong foundation. And that foundation would be of values. And so what I'm really proud of this book more than anything else is that I believe it's an unself-help book. It's not a process at all. I don't believe that it's the single way to any type of peace and joy, but I believe it is a path to peace and joy. And so what I've done is distill these values that I believe are harmonious. They connect to one another through a common thread of selflessness. And I believe they all come back to this feeling that to be light, we first need to be solid. So I break down the ideas of kindness, of gratitude, of integrity, of humility and acceptance, and how they all coexist together and how they can help us be grounded in a foundation for being rather than doing.
I love it. And I can imagine the answer to this question, but I've learned never to assume the answers to my questions. So I would like to know, what about The Unicorn in You do you see can be most helpful to readers, especially with regard to co-creating peaceful relationships with each other?
I love that question because I think it speaks to the essence of my message and my perspective in the book. You know, relationships, and especially these days, are at the heart of how we're all feeling and how we feel connected, whether they're personal friendships, whether they're with loved ones or family members. In my mind, I always think about how can we own 100% of what we bring to a relationship? And so how I think the unicorn in you can help people in their relationships is to make them more mindful of these principles that are universal. Kindness. Are we kind to our partners, our friends, our loved ones? Grateful. Are we grateful for everything they bring to us, even the small things? Integrity. Do we do what we say we're going to do? I always think about when we make plans and how quick we are now to reschedule or cancel plans. And I think integrity in such a small way speaks to something my grandfather always said to me, your word is your bond. And what does your word mean? And humility, I think, is something that is so underappreciated. But when it comes to relationships, it's so important because it reminds us that it's not all about us. And lastly, acceptance. Acceptance, again, as I go back to that sign of maturity, acceptance is accepting in all of the things that our friends and loved ones and partners and husbands and wives and family members, the way they really are, not the way we wish them to be. And so we accept them as they are. So I think all the principles here, especially together, and again, connecting through that thread of selflessness, it doesn't make it all about us. And I think that is a really powerful reminder of how that can improve all of our relationships.
I completely agree. And you talked about how it was so important in relationships with friends and family and loved ones. And as I listened to you, I thought, no, this is important in our relationships with every single person we encounter, whether it's the clerk at the grocery store, whether it's the homeless person we pass on the street, whether it's a colleague maybe that we don't even care for very much. The more we bring in these kinds of values into our relationship and keep our focus on them, it seems the more we can connect with other human beings as I call it, fellow soul beings on this very bizarre human journey.
And I love the way you said that. Absolutely.
And so I love that you bring these to focus. And so often we might think of one or two of these occasionally and in certain kinds of contexts, but to bring them all together, bring them into focus, and then use that as the lens through which we see the world and share ourselves with the world. I just see so much strength in all kinds of relationships that would come from that.
And so you bring up such a great point relative to the people that we may not know in our lives. After I write my introduction in the book, which I give a little bit of my background and story, I say that it all begins with kindness. And you talk about the clerk. You mentioned that person that we may see at the grocery store that we don't know. But how do we use our values to create more habits and to create them more part of our being and our essence? They don't just happen, right? Things take practice. And at the same time, I don't necessarily believe in the idea of random acts of kindness. I think that they are intentional acts of kindness, that the person may be random or unknown to us, but we can only do it if we're mindful of it. And like you said, really trying to cultivate some of these values in our lives so that very natural to us. So I love that you raised the issue of people that may not be, you know, part of our everyday lives, but how do we act during the world with our fellow citizens?
And people so often think of relationship, and we usually use the word relationship in terms of an ongoing connection with others. And that's the way I usually use it as well. But as I'm listening to you and I'm thinking about all of this, I'm thinking, no, you know, relationship can be just a momentary connection with a person. And if we thought of every encounter with a person as a relationship, however brief, and that we relate to them using these values that you've outlined, it could create these beautiful moments, however brief, of really feeling connected and relating to an individual.
You said my favorite word there, the M word, moments. And it comes from connection, as you said. I think that moments are something that we tend to not put enough weight on as far as that our life is made up of moments. And usually they're not the big ones that we think about. I'm a traveler. I love to travel around the country, around the world. And I always find when I reflect on my travels and my journeys that the memories I have and the moments from my trips are not necessarily the ones of the must-sees in the guidebook. They're smaller and they're usually interactions or there's some kind of memory or moment that's created, usually by awareness and having a sense of perspective and presence of mind, what's going around me. So I love the idea that to find moments in our life, that's really what it's all about, right? Creating them and hopefully creating more of them.
So true. And it's funny, we have a lot in common because I love to travel as well. And my favorite memories of my travels are the people that I connected with along the way. Right. And most of my travels, they're partly about going to see places I've never been, but it's also for me more about the culture of those places and the people in those places. I've traveled twice to Nigeria, which is a very difficult place to be and a very difficult place to travel to, and was not necessarily a pleasant experience environmentally, but the people were so beautiful and loving and kind to one another. That's what I hold in my memory of my time in Nigeria is the people and how amazing they were to me and to one another. You commented that I used your favorite M word. You used my favorite M word, which is mindfulness. And so it's just funny that we connect in that way too, that we
Absolutely.
Both recognize the value of these very beautiful words.
I've wanted to go to Lagos and I've been to East Africa and spent some time there. And I agree with you. The memories and more the spirit of what I took back was the exposure to a diversity of thought and diversity of being. And I think sometimes here in the United States, we limit ourselves. We like to stick with what we know and what we're comfortable with, what feels safe. But it's this exposure, certainly getting out of our comfort zones is where we do the most growth, at least for me. I've been to Australia, New Zealand, and Africa. I've been so fortunate to spend time in South America. And for me, it's always just made me a better citizen of the world for experiencing a diversity of thought and not just travel for its own sake. So I absolutely agree with you.
This has been a great conversation. And I'm thinking to myself, after your book is out in the world and you've gotten some feedback, which I know is going to be really profound, I hope that you'll come back for another interview about what you've learned about the impact of your book on those who read it.
Absolutely. Anytime. Thank you very much. And I'd be happy to. I'm excited to see what the response is. I know that I'll be able to learn a lot from how people receive it.
Yes, indeed. How can our listeners learn more about your work? And I know you said the book is going to be published on February 22nd. How can people order it once it's published?
That's right. So the release is 02-22-22, Tuesday, February 22nd, available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. If you'd like to learn a little bit about me, you can visit theunicorninyou.com. I'd love to connect with you. If anyone would like to learn more about my approach and my perspective on this, I'm hopeful that people will really respond to what I've put out there. You know, this was a labor of love, but it didn't feel a whole lot of labor. It was something that was really born of passion, and I'm so happy to be able to share it with everyone.
How wonderful that you're also wanting to connect with people and have conversations about this. So often people feel a distance between themselves and the authors of books and a sense of inaccessibility. And how kind of you to make yourself accessible and to invite and encourage people to connect with you about this.
Absolutely. That would be great. I think that would be the most meaningful part of this. You know, it's funny when I wrote the book, I said to my publisher, I said, if this helps one person, it'll be worth it. I'm just thrilled that this experience was so rich. And now I'd hope that it's helpful for others too.
And I look forward to hearing all about how helpful it is and what people's experiences were with it. I know that it's going to have a profound impact on many. So thank you so much, Josh, for being here with us today, for sharing your thoughts and for sharing the beautiful book that you have written. I know our listeners are going to look forward to reading it, and I'm going to look forward to having you back to talk about it some more.
You can count on it. Thank you so much again for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Josh.
Now available for pre-order on Amazon.com, The Unicorn in You will be released Tuesday, February 22nd. In the meantime, feel free to visit theunicorninyou.com.
to learn more about Josh and to connect with him directly. There are several ways that you can help Co-Creating Peace stay strong and live long with your financial support, your contributions to the content, and by sharing Co-Creating Peace with others. Your financial support will allow me to contract a production assistant to help with the editing of this podcast, which in turn will support my work-life balance by allowing me 1, maybe even 2 days off per week. Currently, between my company Bridges of Peace and this podcast, I work 7 days a week to provide my services. Become a patron of Co-Creating Peace by going to www.patreon.com/co-creating-peace. That's patreon.com/co-creating-peace with no hyphen in co-creating. Patrons pledging $10 or more per month will receive thank you gifts ranging from communication worksheets and workbooks to free communication coaching sessions with me and Co-Creating Peace t-shirts, coffee mugs, and tote bags. To contribute to the content of this podcast, send me your requests for advice about conscious communication or conflict transformation. I will honor whatever level of confidentiality you want in my response. If you have ideas for episodes of this podcast or specific things you'd like to learn about conscious communication and conflict transformation, that will be a helpful contribution to the content as well. Many episode topics and guests were suggested by listeners like you. Write to me with any questions you may have about anything I've shared with you. I will reply within 2 business days. I want this show to have a direct and positive impact on your life. The best way to reach me is to email me at owegon@bridgesofpeace.com. That's owegon@bridgesofpeace.com. You'll be able to hear a new episode of Co-Creating Peace every weekend. This episode of Co-Creating Peace has been brought to you by the patrons who support Co-Creating Peace through Patreon.com and by Bridges of Peace, providing mediation, facilitation, training, and communication coaching services throughout the U.S. and around the world. Learn more about Bridges of Peace by visiting www.bridgesofpeace.com. Thank you for listening, and may you always find new ways to co-create peace in your life.